Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment from yesterday. One must let the play happen to one. One must let the mind loose to respond as it will, to receive impressions, to sense rather than know, to gather rather than immediately understand. Since before we can remember, we're taught that we need to know, to have the answers, to figure it out, to understand, to grasp the essentials, to get it. Once we've done our best to become one of those know-it-alls from yesterday's practice focus, we find that we're now expected to meet another standard. We need to be creative. We look around and see the right people being lauded as inventive, imaginative, original, and visionary. It's not enough just to figure it out and get it. We should now also be resourceful and innovative. Finally, we have something that is perfect practice for awareness practitioners. Conditioned mind is the realm of knowing, figuring out, and suffering. The present is new, fresh, unfolding, and free. Today, be present as life unfolds and enjoy the new, fresh you unfolding. Record and listen. Shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Karen from North Carolina.
Hey, Karen.
Hey. Oh, this is exciting. I come to the studio right around noon, and some days I'm not able to call in, and the days that I do call in, conditioning says that I shouldn't walk around and open the studio while I should just sit still. And then I said, well, that's just so silly. And it just that I can flow with life and do what life asks of me anytime, any place, and those standards that it would set for me are so ridiculous.
Yes, indeed. Because what you're pointing at so helpfully is if the only time we can be present is when we're sitting down, when we're doing nothing, then we're not going to spend a lot of time present.
Yes, thanks for stating it in that way. That's
wonderful. Isn't that what you're seeing?
Yes, it is. It is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just exciting to do the tasks of opening up and being here, and with that anticipation and eagerness of what's now. I mean, in a way, it was like it's not like what's happening next, but there is a sense of being alive, and noticing and watching and I guess I'm describing presence.
Yes. Well, it reminds me of being a little kid at Christmas time.
Yes.
You know, there's that. Ooh, I mean, you're right here for it, and it's all terribly exciting.
And the analogy of being in the queue and to Christmas time is really a fun one. That's what mm-hmm. practice is like. It's like Christmas time.
Yes, and if we stay with what you're looking at, we realize that that's the challenge is not a good word, because that can sound a little contesty. But it's the opportunity. That's not quite it either, because it's way harder than that. But to practice being present in all activities.
Mm-hmm.
So someone was talking about it last night. One of the monks was talking about it last night. If watching a dog watch her human with this one-pointed attention while being aware of everything else that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no sneaking up on the pup or doing anything that she doesn't know about in her sphere, and yet she never takes her eyes off of her human.
Yes. I've noticed that too with our animals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it is a wonderful kind of a little picture of how we are with presence. So we're staying right here. Our attention is right here. And awareness is expanded enough to include everything eventually, probably not in the beginning. But we're practicing expanding awareness and keeping attention right here.
And what a fun recording that is going to make. I can hear it now. to make a recording to practice that space of expanding awareness.
Yes.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because again, ego would like to set it up so that you can only be present under these specific circumstances, which you're never going to be allowed to have.
Mm-hmm.
So we let that go and realize, no. Is it difficult? Yes, of course it's difficult. But that's what we're practicing. And only ego would make a contest out of it.
And that's
it
why
can
our
be
practice,
just fun.
Yeah, it is. And our practice includes sitting, walking, and working.
Yes, and mm-hmm. being with other folks, the
and
most challenging of all.
and there's another aspect to the assignment, which likens to improvisation, being there and being ready, but letting the wisdom of the body guide. It's like when I'm working, making things, often it's my hands. The body, it knows what to do, and if I can get out of the way, because I've been, with practice and mastery of the process, and it just is the most exciting thing to participate, to be present to
be a witness.
That's going on.
To be a witness, yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To be in awareness as that's happening, because what you're describing is not allowing, because it is a discipline, not allowing conditioned mind to take attention away from what's unfolding in the moment, and the body is always in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
Yes, and
conditioned
it's just
mind.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, it's just not that one activity, as I was describing. I realize it's in every movement, every realm.
Yes.
Every realm.
Yes. So that's why dropping attention to the horror, to the center of our being, and practicing keeping attention there as awareness expands to include everything around us, we have a growing sense of what you're describing.
Yes, and I loved yesterday's call at the end when y'all were having that conversation. And it was really great to bring that to the assignment today, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. It was just that it's the first line of the quote, right, Sherry? One must let the play happen to one.
Yes. Yes. It's a perfect, that quote is a perfect description of being present, isn't it?
Yes. Being animated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Richard in New York City.
Hello, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Hi. All right. As so many people do, I'm going to first acknowledge this cue thing. I went through an incredible period of really rigorously making sure I pushed that button to not be on the queue. And it was just a total period of self-hate, I'd say. I know was, in fact.
Ego takeover.
Yeah.
Which is good to see, isn't it?
Yes. It's
good to see. Yep.
And that lasted over a week. And then starting yesterday or the day before, I found the wherewithal or the whatever it is, I was back on the queue. And now I've been rewarded to be enjoying talking to Sangha and you and Oshwini.
So, Richard, that's just so, it's so big. It really is, it's one of the biggest places in practice because we're so conditioned to believe that, in quotes, this is me. But what you got to see is what it's like to be completely taken over by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, believing that that's me. It's not like the body snatchers, like, you know, you woke up one day and you were somebody else and freaked out, right? It just feels like me. And now me really doesn't want to be in the queue. And that's fine. That's just how I feel. That's just what I'm doing. And then you come to, in quotes, right?
Right.
Now that you're back. And you realize, good grief, I was taken over. I was not there making that choice. I wasn't there, and that ego system was, and I thought it was me. Getting to see that is just crucial in practice.
Yes. And, it's so hard, of course. There's that vestiges of recrimination of, I'm bad somehow. There's something wrong.
Yeah.
I was taken. And benders.
Right. That's what we're meant to believe, and that's what keeps us in its thrall. Right? But to realize, whoa, I regularly get just snatched, just picked up and thrown into a dark place. I'm not doing it. I'm not choosing it. It's happening to me. I've got to recognize, first of all, when that has happened, right? Not, yes, so we come to and look back and go, I was taken over. Now we're learning to recognize when I'm taken over, when I'm in the, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, no, it's too hard, I can't, I hate that. When we're hearing that kind of conversation in our head, we need to get it that I've been taken over. Yeah? And then we start closing in on, how does that happen? How am I walking down the street on a bright and sunny day and suddenly I'm in a dark place somewhere? How does that happen? Yeah. And as we let go of the there is something wrong that this is happening to me, and when we get it, no. This is the universal human condition. This is what we're waking up out of. Everybody. The only difference is some people don't know they're waking up out of it, and some of us are conscious that that's going on, and we're working toward that. That's the only difference, but it's the trajectory for all human beings.
Exactly, yes. And, of course, you explained it so well. And all these wonderful assignments during that week and today, excuse me, I'm blanking on them, but this was the most important thing for me. The key thing, and as you describe it and make me see so clearly, it is the hugest thing that's going on.
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. It's everything. It's our waking up and ending suffering. It's compassion for everybody because everybody is somewhere in the process. We don't know where we are. We don't know where they are. We can know that we all are. And we regularly get snatched and thrown into those dark places and act out in ways that then we're meant to feel bad about when we come to, and we got to stop that, because that is not helping anybody. And now, okay, good. I see it as a process. I'm on to it. I'm on to it. So, good job.
Thank you.
Good job getting snatched.
Yes, I was good at it this time. And I had had a stretch there where it was sort of effortless to be on the queue, and had spoken twice. Once was 2 days in a row counting open air, and so I was blessed and happy and this and that. And then this is the way it goes. And
yes.
It's good.
Yes.
And it's perfectly fine that it goes this way. I now am starting to truly see and believe.
Yeah. Remember? Yeah. Not take it personally. This is just how it is. Is it terminal? No. No. We're going to see how it happens, and we're going to learn to make choices so that it doesn't happen. But there's nothing wrong with the process.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Richard.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Richard. It's undulation, right, Terry?
Undulations, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing that I was looking at in the various periods of the dark night of the soul, to me, the more we go through those periods, the more I feel like we are required to be faithful. Not be persons of faith, but those are the times in which we are called to be faithful, because that is where it seems that we have to learn to accept the unconditional. Not in the times when everything is going our way.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. But when it seems like nothing is.
That's right.
When we have been forsaken.
Yes, and to know that we've not been is what I think deeper and deeper, the gift in harder and harder circumstances is to call forth our faithfulness, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, if you have a boss who keeps giving you more and more challenging assignments, and the conditioned way is to start whining, right? Why?
Yes.
No matter what I do, it just keeps getting harder and harder and harder. And to be able to realize, wow, my boss really loves me. My boss is really on my side. I am being challenged to be the very best person I can be. Wow.
Yes.
What a gift.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's that shift. That's what's being called for.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello,
Sherry Nashman. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, there he is.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Jeff.
Hey, I put myself on mute and forgotten I had done that.
I do that regularly, Jeff. It's like,
yes.
You're just talking away.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So this is going to be interesting because I need to walk back into my class in 1 minute. We're having lunch, so I'm just going to see how it goes, and if I need to cut it short, I'll just cut it short, if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely. Just what Karen was talking about. We're present to what's going on in our lives, and we're staying present to being present.
Right, exactly. So this will be an interesting experience of expanding the awareness.
Yes.
So I'm really happy to get on because yesterday morning, before I read the quote, I had I just started being really present. And what my experience of it, just one second. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Pat. So my experience of it was that from that perspective, it seemed like I'm present here for this moment. And and from that place, I could see that most of the time I'm being I'm kind of being here for another moment or for some future moment that is going to come. And yeah. And so much of the time it's the, in quotes, getting things done mode that I'm in. And but it was so great to be present for the moment itself. And so before school, I'm at home and I'm just doing whatever, you know, getting ready, making breakfast, having breakfast, and all of the rest of it. And there's that tendency to hurry. But I was very conscious that I was enjoying every moment. I made about 15 recordings, which is very unusual before actually going to school to make that many, because I just kept seeing new things. And it was very much, you know, that kind of new experience of being new, you know, in the moment.
The experience of the quote, right?
Right.
Of it's unfolding, yes. And you see it, and then it's more expansive, and you see more, and there's more clarity, and so it's like you're going into the moment, rather than kind of skimming over the moment in relationship with conditioned mind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because what I've experienced, what I experienced yesterday morning and what I've experienced before is that, there's so many insights that come.
Yes.
When that present, there's the seeing of the, in quotes, old things, that is the conditioning in new ways. There's basically, yes. I would say that there's really seeing it. So,
yes.
I've always been identified with it before, or in some cases not always before, but I'm actually seeing it now and recognizing, oh, that's conditioning.
Yes.
And then to see something about it, to just have that little bit of insight about whatever that is, and then you know, almost immediately later, to another one comes and.
Yes.
Another one. And,
yes.
You know, it's just when that present, it's, you know, there's really no shortage of insight and awareness.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And what you're describing, Jeff, is that you used to be looking at conditioning within conditioning, from inside it. You were living it. Now you're disidentified from it. You're seeing it. And so that's where the clarity comes from, right? Now you are, in quotes, identified with awareness, and you are seeing egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. And so you can see things about it. Life will reveal, intelligence will reveal things to you about it that you couldn't possibly see when you were inside it believing it was you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now
it's, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I know you're going to go in a minute, and I want to point this thing out because this is a possible, trap that you could fall into.
Okay.
So one of the things that we need to be sure of, so there you are, you get up in the morning, you do what you do, you fix your breakfast, you have your breakfast. Make sure that you are, disciplined about your time so that you have time for this.
Oh. So let me see if I'm going to say it in my words and see if I'm getting what you're saying.
Yep.
So in other words, that I'm doing things in a way that I can be present.
Yes.
So is that what you're talking about? So that
you have time for your breakfast. You have time to mm-hmm. make your breakfast. You have time to eat your breakfast. You have time to make 15 recordings if that's what arises for you.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioning will try to now get you to oversleep, get you to be pushed, get you to have all these other things you need to do instead. If mm-hmm. we have to make time and space for presence.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I wonder.
Forever will we have to? No. But while we're learning to be present to present, yes, we do.
So let me see. I wonder if that also means kind of having just a little bit extra, because the way things usually get set up in conditioning for this person is either just enough time or, usually not enough time. But it seems like if there's just that little bit of space, then, because life happens, other things happen besides what's on the plan, whether it's an inside awareness taking time or something, something breaks or whatever, or somebody has a need, then having that little, are you suggesting there might be a little bit of extra time in there, or I don't know if
well,
you have a...
here's the thing, Jeff. So for me, what we're doing right now happens at 9 o'clock in the morning. And
right.
So my morning is set up so that I get through what I want to get through by 9 o'clock to start this call.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it includes what you're describing, right? So I want to be able to fix my breakfast. I want to sit down and enjoy my breakfast. I want to listen to recordings. I want to make recordings. I want to, those things. Now, if I didn't have that commitment, something mm-hmm. would interfere every day. There would be something that would demand my attention and take me away from that. As soon as my commitment to that is complete, then once in a while something will disrupt it.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while. But the vast majority of the time, it will go that way because there's no reason for it not to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're not firefighters in a busy downtown fire station, right? those aren't the lives that we have. So our lives can have these periods of spaciousness if we choose them.
Right. Not firefighters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we've set it up and we're committed to.
That's right.
That was another thing about yesterday that, and this really has come out of practice in the last few days in a recent conversation where my commitment is to practice first. That is, that's my,
yes.
Because the tendency tends to be, oh my gosh, work because it's so important. It has to be my first priority as I'm getting ready and so on. But what I've been doing this week is consciously, and it's good to say this again and put it again in the forefront, is practice first and exercise, as part of that, my morning exercise as my first priorities. And
yes.
And it's amazing how work works, even, when
yes.
I do that.
Exactly so. Exactly so. All right.
Yeah.
I need to let you go to work.
That's right. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you,
Ashwini. Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks, Jeff. Sure. Jeff, I have not been able to find the cue yet to mute you, so here I go. 1 second. Well, looks like Jeff dropped off, which is wonderful.
It works.
The thing that dropped in for me, Sherry, during that conversation is, again, the quote, which is, let the play happen to you, that
yes.
there is such a way in which the conditioned default orientation is also, it's also like it just happens, but it's a way in which
it's happening. It's not the same play. And that what you were pointing at is how important it is to make the space for life to happen to us, for the insights to arrive, for us to receive it. That is practice.
Yes.
But this is what I'm consciously and intentionally choosing to prioritize, which means that I do have to actively say, not this, not this, not this.
Yes, yes. And practice is it. You know, if I want to play the piano, I have to practice playing the piano. I have to sit down at the piano and play it. So in the same way, if we want the intelligence that animates us to communicate with us in the subtle way, if we want to know that communication, the communication is always there. But we're not there. We're not practicing being with it. We have to be very still, actually, to be able to receive the most subtle messages. And then as we get attuned to that, we move into the practicing being present, going around in the world, doing what, you know, what Karen was talking about. But that doesn't negate the importance of periods of time of silence and solitude so that we can be still and receive at the most subtle levels.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which leads so perfectly into our assignment, Sherry,
good,
which says, all the troubles of humanity come from not knowing how to sit still. As meditators, we surely realize sitting still is not easy. In fact, the practice of sitting down and sitting still puts us pretty quickly in touch with all the troubles of humanity. I don't want to. I can't stand this. I hate it. I want to quit. I want to do something else. This is too hard. Fortunately, it doesn't take long for those of us who sit with sitting practice to figure out that the misery is not in the sitting, but rather in the incessant suffering-producing conversation in the head. Now we can turn attention away from what we're not sitting with, the misery in the head, and turn attention to what we are sitting with, the wisdom, love, and compassion animating us. Today, each time you sit down, remember to turn attention away from the troubling yammer in the head and direct attention to the trouble-free zone of this year now. Record and listen.
Yeah. Every time we can think of, and split second, it's not a contest. We don't have to spend hours there every day. Just every time it occurs to us, drop the yummy, 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 slide into the stillness. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and we'll see everybody on Monday.
On Monday. Mm-hmm. Go happy and treasure yourself, huh?
Yes. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.